Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, may the words of my lips and the meditation of each and every one of our hearts be good and pleasing in your sight, our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As a pastor, I've had the opportunity to lead countless new member classes. And one of the things that surprised me over the years is that one session above all others has prompted more questions than any others. Now, I would have thought it would have been some of the heady topics like talking about the Holy Trinity or communion or baptism or controversial topics like creation and evolution. But none of those topics have drawn as many questions or discussion in my new member classes as confession and forgiveness. And the reason is people would ask me things like, how do I forgive someone for something so terrible that it scarred me for the rest of my life? Or the one that really breaks my heart is, what do I do if the person who hurt me has died? What do I do if I can't talk to them and forgive them face to face? I think that while other topics that we sometimes study are very heady and theological, this one is so very tangible. Because you see, we've all been hurt. We've all caused hurt. And we all carry around wounds from past hurts. And we all want to know what to do with them. So the question today that we answer is, how do we forgive when we can't forget? And we have to realize that forgiveness is a decision and a process, not an event or a feeling. You see, we can't microwave forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't happen in a day. It's actually a long-term process of healing and growth that only the brave are really willing to pursue. But for those who do, they find the abundant life that Jesus promises. But first, we're going to look at a lot of myths about forgiveness. First of all, forgiveness isn't freedom from consequences. Some believe that if I apologize and you forgive me, then I shouldn't have any consequences. After all, isn't that the Christian thing to do? No, actually, not at all. In the movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?, one of my favorite scenes is when the three escaped convicts are on the lam after one of them comes to Jesus and is baptized at a revival service in the woods. He says to the other convicts, "We can go back home now." One of the other criminals asks him, "Are you crazy? We're wanted men." And the newly redeemed and baptized one says, "But I gave my life to Jesus. I'm forgiven." The first criminal then says to him, "Well, Jesus may have forgiven you, but I don't think the state of Alabama has yet." And there's a lot of truth in that. Because for those who've broken laws, those who've broken policies at work, we may face punishment from the state or even the loss of a job. Because you see, forgiveness isn't a reset button. Everything doesn't necessarily go back to normal or back to the way it was, the way we want it to. Forgiveness for the one doing the forgiving doesn't necessarily mean that I have to trust the person immediately. In fact, it may take years to rebuild the trust, or the trust may never be rebuilt. Sometimes the hurt party needs to maintain space or distance for their physical, emotional, or spiritual safety until the offender can once again prove themselves to be trustworthy again. Another myth about forgiveness is that forgiveness isn't a license to sin. Sometimes I'll hear people say, "Well, this person forgives me. Why are they still getting mad at me when they told me they forgave me?" The truth is that every time you and I break a relationship with someone we love or someone we know in the same way, whether they forgive you or not, it provides us another opportunity. It provides us another opportunity for you and me to repent and go through the process of forgiveness once again. And the final myth about forgiveness that I want to tackle today is that forgiveness isn't a feeling or amnesia. A lot of people think that they're going to wake up one morning or wake up one day feeling like they should forgive this person, or worse yet, they feel like if I forgave what they did, then I'm just going to forget about it, and I'm going to move on, and magically things are going to go away, and I'm just going to just not even going to think about it anymore. If we have those thoughts, then we have unrealistic expectations about what forgiveness is. And we're less likely to go into the process of forgiveness and less likely to understand what it entails. As we look at the Bible and what the Bible says, the Bible tells us that forgiveness is testified repeatedly, and that when the Bible talks about forgiveness, it says that God desires to forgive our sins. Listen to that. God desires to forgive our sins. And he asks for repentance as a prerequisite for a renewed relationship. So God wants us to repent. He wants us to turn to him. He wants us to confess. He wants us to ask for forgiveness and say that we're sorry. And then he forgives us of our sins. And the cool thing is, when God forgives us our sins, in Scripture, he chooses many different words. And some of the words he uses, he says he chooses to cover over or cover up. He chooses to pay for. He chooses to remove. And he chooses to no longer hold our sins and our faults against us. Hebrews 8, verse 12 tells us that God says, "For I will be merciful towards their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." You see, as my father would always say, we want to forgive and forget, but as humans, we don't have the ability to forget. But God does. He has this unfathomable nature that he can forgive and remember our sins no more. He has holy amnesia that no one here on earth can actually accomplish. But in his mercy, he chooses to remember what you and I have done. To quote the author Lisa Turkest, the author of the book, Forgiving What You Can't Forget, she says, "You must make the decision that this person's offense will not define you or confine you." You see, the sum total of your life must not be reduced to the limitations of living hurt, the lies they wrongly believed and tried to put on you must not become a burden that you carry or a script that you repeat. You see, you've got much too much going on for you to be stunted by anger, haunted by resentment, or held back by fear, she says. You see, for us as humans, forgiveness is doing the same thing God models for us. It's choosing to do what God did for us, choosing to say, I won't let this offense stand between you and me. It's choosing to say, when I look at you, I won't see you in the stain of your sin, but instead I'll see you covered in the robe of Jesus Christ's righteousness. It's saying, I won't take revenge on you the way I might want to, but instead I'm going to have faith and trust God to take justice on my behalf. It's saying, I won't gossip or allow this sin to master me any longer, and I will treat you in such a way as you don't deserve. I'll be gracious to you, loving to you, just as God has been gracious and merciful and loving to me. Recently, I was talking to someone who's been going through a traumatic experience, and not only with the loss of a family member, but also going through divorce proceedings. And, you know, in the conversation, he's telling me all the things that are going on and all the things that are happening in his life and all the things that are going on in his marriage. And he says to me, I want you to pray. And I said, well, can I pray that God will soften your heart and soften her heart so that you two can forgive each other? And he took a moment and stepped back and said, wait a second, that's so hard. He says, Do you know what she said? Do you know what she's done? Do you know what's happened? And I said, but that's God's ultimate goal. Yes, it's hard. And how do we get to that point? Only by the miracle that God can do in our hearts. So why do we forgive? We forgive because our relationships get broken. You see, the goal of forgiveness is reconciliation. It's restoration and renewal. Whether that's the restoration and the renewal of a relationship that you're in, or maybe it's the restoration and renewal of your own heart, even if the relationship itself can't ever be restored. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 and 20, the Apostle Paul says that God reconciled to us to himself through Christ. And he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. So we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled before God. You see, the other reason we forgive is because Christ forgave us first. We follow what our Heavenly Father modeled for us on the cross. In Colossians 3:13, he says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." And in Ephesians 4:32, it says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." You see, Jesus tells us that we are the light of the world. He tells us that we are the salt of the earth. He tells us that we are his representatives here on this planet as his hands and his feet to show others what he is like. And one of the ways that we best do that is by forgiveness. So here's the big question. Here's where the rubber meets the road. Here's the action steps for this week's message for you to go and do with that person that you maybe struggling to forgive. The question is, how do I forgive even if I can't forget? The first step is you have to stop the destructive actions. You have to stop criticizing. You have to stop condemning, and you have to stop gossiping. I know it's hard. Gossip, complaining, and victimizing, it feeds bitterness, not healing. True, you may be the victim. Everything you're saying may be true and valid, and you may be in the right. But if you truly want to forgive, then you have to stop these actions. You see, the offender originally caused the wound that you're experiencing, but if you and I are still bringing it up, then we may not let that wound close and heal the way it needs to. I love Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, because the Apostle Paul, while waiting for a trial that's going to end up in his death, he says these amazing words. He says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence or if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things." You see, you can't go forward if you're constantly looking backward. You can't be healed if you keep tearing off the bandages and keep reopening your wound. The second step in the process of forgiving what you can't forget is praying for your forgiveness. You see, forgiveness for truly deep wounds is a supernatural gift. God's grace both forgives, but it also gives us the strength to forgive. You see, we can't do it without God. So in this step, I want you to ask God to give you the strength to heal and to grow closer to him, and also the strength to forgive, because it's only by his power that you and I can forgive. You see, something that was told to me recently is that pride keeps us from confessing, but bitterness keeps us from forgiving. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, the apostle says, "Make every effort to live in peace with everyone, to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and to defile many." The third step is make a list and verbalize your forgiveness. What I like to do is make a resentment list, and I like to read each item on that list. And I read the items that I'm able to forgive them for. I also read the items that I'm unable to forgive them for. And for each one, I like to verbalize. I like to say, "Lord, I forgive this person for X. Lord, I forgive this person for Y. Lord, I forgive this person for Z." And if there are still things that I can't honestly say, "Lord, I forgive them for this," then what I like to say is something that I learned from Lisa Turkis. I like to say, "For that which I'm still not yet able to forgive, Lord, I know that the blood of Jesus still covers." And I encourage you to practice this regularly. In fact, I encourage you to do this daily until you can actually say with peace, "I forgive them for each item on that list." And this is a powerful practice, and it's a powerful exercise, because this way you're doing many things. You're both acknowledging and validating the hurt that you've experienced. You're also validating that you're not able to forgive. And you're also giving it to Jesus and asking him to help you forgive, all in this one simple step. And the last step is to pray for the offender's blessing. I remember the first time I heard this and someone told me to pray for my offender's blessing, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, "I can't do that. I can't even fathom that. You don't understand. You don't understand what's happened." In fact, this may be the hardest step, but that's why it's the last step. I don't put this step at the beginning because until we've done the other steps, we're not ready to pray for that person. But what I've learned is when we get to this step, that's when we truly know and we truly do forgive them. When I can pray for the blessing of someone who's hurt me, I know that God has done an amazing transformation of my heart. In fact, it gives new life and new meaning to those words when Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, "You've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven." You see, when we pray for our offender, when we pray for our enemies, when we pray for that other person, we most model the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness that God has shown to us. You see, Lisa Turkis again says, "The best time to forgive is before you've ever been offended." The second best time, she says, to forgive is right now. Wherever you are and whatever you're going through, I want to encourage you that forgiveness is possible. Reconciliation, restoration, and new life is what God wants. One statement that a mentor of mine has always said to couples who are struggling in their marriages, he says, when he meets a couple, he says to them, "If you're both Christians, if you're both repentant and you're willing to forgive, and if you're both willing to put in the time, the effort, and the hard work required, then God will save your marriage." And I can personally attest to the fact that I have not seen one Christian couple who's ever gotten divorced who was willing to repent and forgive. God's miracles are being done each and every day, and he can help you to forgive what you can't forget as well. Amen. We pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that the peace which passes all understanding, would keep and guard all of our hearts and minds in you, Christ Jesus. I pray that in all those things that we carry, all those burdens, all those wounds that we carry with us, I pray that you give us the strength to forgive, even when we can't forget. I pray that your grace and mercy fills us so much that we shine forth as your sons and daughters to the world that needs to hear it. And Lord, I ask for your blessing upon us as we go through this week in forgiveness. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.